What is happening, everybody? You're now tuning in to the Reducers Corner with Spud Too Tight. Man, I have another hot show for you today. On the phone with me, I have a very talented saxophonist, singer, and songwriter. She was elected to the Board of Governors for the LA chapter with the National Academy of Recording Arts and Sciences. Her third CD release in 2006 debuted at number one on the Billboard Contemporary Jazz charts and remained top 20 for 45 weeks. Please put your hands together and welcome saxophonist, singer, and songwriter, Mindy Abair. How's it going, Mindy?
Now, that was quite an introduction. I love that. Can I bring you everywhere or put you on stage right before we go on stage?
Oh, man.
That's the best. Thank you.
Oh, I'm a fan, so, you know, I have to take my hat off to you.
I appreciate it.
Well, Mindy, thank you so much for, you know, taking the time and interviewing with me. I've been loving your music since day one, and the work that you're producing now is just phenomenal.
Thank you. Thank you so much. We had a blast making this record. I've wanted to make this record with this, you know, spirit, a very organic, just fun record for a long time. So it was nice to make it happen, and it's fun to get it out there finally. You know, I've been living with it in the studio, so it's fun to get it out there where people can finally hear it and be a part of it.
Oh, definitely. You know, what stood out to me is the title. I mean, I've never seen a title put that way before. I mean, it's just, you know, it kind of, you just gravitate to it. I seen the cover. I was like, really? Oh, man, what a creative way of doing that. That is so hot.
I'm glad you feel that way. You know what? I usually get really deep and philosophical with my titles. You know, my first record, it just happens that way. It was from a quote from Cannonball Adderley. From his Live in New York CD, and, you know, from there, you know, Life Less Ordinary, built on, you know, what my life had been for the last couple years. But this particular CD, you know, I sat down and thought, you know, what's the thread of this CD? What's the larger picture? What's the larger meaning? And, you know, I tried to get philosophical with it, and I finally came to the conclusion that it was just a fun record, and it was born out of a love for, you know, all these old records that I'd been pulling out from the shelf, and you know, just the spirit of that, the organic kind of, you feel like you're in the same room with the artist, and you just feel like dancing and smiling. So I thought, you just have to get simple with it, and on all those records, there was a stamp that said, in hi-fi stereo.
Yeah.
Because at that point, when those came out, that was like the new cool sonic atmosphere.
Oh, yeah.
So I figured I'd call it exactly what it was and just let people know kind of what they were in for with the title of the record.
Well, you know, the title speaks for itself, but I got to take my hat off to the engineer who really mixed the whole CD. I mean, the mix is so warm and punchy. I mean, I just love warm and punchy mixes, and the clarity, I mean, it really is off the meters. It's lovely.
Thank you. Well, we went into, you know, this really old studio to record, and we made sure we used, you know, just really old microphones, really vintage, well-kept microphones. I mean, on my saxophone, we used a 44, which is Sinatra used at Capitol Records for a lot of his recordings, and you know, just kind of every step we went, we just used different things than most people use today, and we wanted to get that, you know, just really very real. We wanted to get the warmth of the horn, you know, we wanted to get the real sounds.
Right. You know, I always talk a lot about vintage gear. I'm a vintage gear junkie myself. From the hardware sense to old pre's, you know, like the Avalons and the Neves, and
yeah, sure,
you know, versus the stuff that's now in the digital world, it's really hard nowadays to really get that warm sound if you're not really recording the tape. So a lot of guys are using that combination of old vintage gear running into their DAW systems. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it's fun to, you know, to use the technology of today, but also incorporate, you know, the beauty of what recording was, you know, back in the day. I didn't want to make, you know, your father's jazz record. I didn't want to try and make Ramsey Lewis's record from 1972, or, you know, an old Earth, Wind & Fire record, or, you know, anything like that. I wanted to make a record that was inspired by that and using some of the elements of that, but, you know, make it today and make it, you know, something that I would come up with that I, you know, would think is cool. And I think that's what, you know, that's what transpired.
Definitely. You know, the CD, for one, it's very upbeat. I love upbeat music. I mean, that's just my personality as a composer, keyboardist, producer. You know, and one of the tracks that really stood out to me is Be Beautiful. I mean, it just really gave me kind of a Al Green Love and Happiness type of rhythm behind it. You know, it was kind of dragging at the same time, keeping the pocket, and it was E-flat minor, so I immediately just jumped on the keyboard and started playing behind you.
That's a good sign. If you want to play along to it, I think that that says a lot for the song, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now, I love David Ryan Harris, who wrote that and sang it with me. He played guitar on it, and he's just an amazing artist. I've been a fan for so long, and we've written a few songs together over the years, but he's got such a great, great feel, and I was really happy to have his spirit with me on this.
Oh, yeah. No, that was a hot track. You know, Minnie, for a lot of people who don't know about you, give me a little of history, you know, of how when you started in the music industry, you know, how you merged into this prolific saxophonist that you are.
I got my degree from Berklee College of Music in Boston, and I moved a few weeks later to L.A., and I just figured, you know, I'm going to drive across the country, take everything I own, and see what I can do. And basically, what I wanted was to be an artist, you know. I wanted to play my own music. I wanted to have my band tour around, make records. And I got to say, getting to L.A., it's not an easy thing, you know. They don't just hand out record deals at the door and let you in.
Really? Well, I'm in trouble now.
So, you know, I did what I could. I did everything from play on the street down in Santa Monica, you know, put the case open, and I'd play at basically any place that they would have me. You know, I'd put together a duo or a trio, or I'd go in and play solo saxophone at different places. And, you know, basically just got out there and did what I did. And somehow or other, through many ways, I started playing for other people. I became a side person. You know, when I was playing on the street, Bobby Lyle walked by, who's just an amazing jazz pianist, and he stood there and watched for a while, and he came up and said, you know, I should hire you for some stuff, you know?
Yeah.
I said, yeah, of course you should. So he actually ended up bringing me on tour, and that snowballed into a lot of other possibilities for me as a player. I went on the road with Jonathan Butler after that, and Adam Sandler I toured with for a summer and recorded on one of his records. Duran Duran, the Backstreet Boys, Mandy Moore, Tina Marie, just a lot of people, and it was never what I thought I would do, you know, play for different people's tours and records. But I gotta say, on the road to becoming myself and on the road to being an artist and making my own records, that was an amazing, amazing journey to take. And I think it really showed me who I was and told me what I had to say more and gave me more of a voice for myself. So I think I'm a stronger artist today because of that. And now I have 3 records on Verve Records, and this is my second for Concord Records, and now I just spend my time touring with my band and getting out there and having fun. So it was a crazy journey, but so far so good.
No, I man, that's huge. I mean, that's the success, and like say the experience and the journey. I mean, it's you know, it's life altering, you know, as a musician. You know, I talk a lot about playing covers. I love playing covers, and I love playing with music that inspires me when I first hear it. Are there any other musical influences that really helped you cultivate your sound as a saxophonist? I mean, they could be a non-saxophone player, just from a musicianship.
Absolutely. I mean, I grew up as any kid on my block did, just listening to pop radio and top 40 radio. So, you know, I was listening to everything from Earth, Wind & Fire to Journey to, to the Rolling Stones to the Police. So as a kid, I was really influenced by a lot of R&B and rock. But, you know, once you start playing the saxophone for a while, you start to pay attention to sax players and more jazz, and it takes you on different journeys. So I got into David Sanborn, who I just thought was an incredible bridge for me from the rock and pop I was listening to the jazz world. I mean, he just kind of encompassed it all for me, and then I started looking at who influenced him.
Yeah.
And then I got into Cannonball Adderley and Maceo Parker and, great saxophonist Wayne Shorter, which then led me to Miles Davis.
Oh, yeah.
Which then I had to have every Miles Davis record from Kind of Blue to, you know, the stuff that Marcus Miller produced, like Amandla and Tutu.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, some people like areas of Miles Davis, or I liked this period of Miles Davis's records, but for me, I loved the fact that he grew and that he morphed and that he, you know, became so many different things. So even though he was a trumpet player, I was a sax player, I was incredibly inspired by just his creativity and the fact that he'd become these different things and not be scared, just kind of go with what he felt.
Yeah, the Tutu album was just phenomenal to me. Even with the title track, Tutu, I mean, that's just one of my favorite songs by Miles. Marcus Miller on the bass. And, you know, going back to David Sanborn, Chicago Song is still my favorite song by him till this day. It's one of his older tracks, but, I just love the track, so.
Yeah, it's an amazing, amazing track. A couple years ago, we did a jazz cruise together, Dave Causes jazz cruise. And so David Sanborn asked myself and Dave Cause to come up on stage and play Chicago Song with him. And he looks over, he goes, "Oh, but do you know Chicago Song? Will that work?" So I just looked at him, I was like, yeah, I know it.
Definitely.
Don't you worry.
Right.
You know, every sax player on the planet knows it, or they're not paying attention.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I mean, that's where the musicians become a fan again. You know, I just love how it just kind of cycles over, you know, when you're in the musician world. And, you know, even though you're at the top of your game, I mean, there's still somebody in your head that just, you know, you just get the awe factor every time you see or hear them play, you know.
Oh. Absolutely. He was a huge influence to, you know, all of us of my generation. And I didn't want to become him. I mean, there was already a David Sanborn. I saw a lot of people try and clone him.
Sure.
But, you know, as a player, I just really respected what he did and still do. You know, he's still just putting out great music. And so, yeah, it's nice to have people like him to look up to who really get out there and have an identity and stand apart.
Definitely. Now, Mindy, when you're composing your material, do you work with a team of writers and producers to start the material, or do you usually create the basic foundation of the song yourself, melodically, get all the solo notes together, then bring it to producers to kind of mold it into a complete song?
I write a few different ways. You know, there's a lot of times I'll kind of sing into my phone as I'm in my car and put down an idea, or, you know, I'll be somewhere and write a few chords down on a napkin at Starbucks or something. But a lot of times I really like to get together with friends and write, and I'll, you know, you'll see the same writers on my CDs a lot of the times, and they're my friends, and, you know, I'll just call up and say, "Hey, you want to have lunch? Write a song? You know, you want to have breakfast? Write a song? Meet me at, you know, the cafe down the street and let's see what we come up with."
Nice.
And so for me, it's a real social environment, and I always feel like you come up with such great music with your friends because you know each other, and you've kind of got that
relationship, the rapport.
Yeah,
you know each other. You know each other's moods and things. Yeah, I talk about good bands. Every good band to me had a really, well, for the most part, a pretty decent relationship starting out, and, you know, kind of merging into something maybe towards the end. But, you know, having that relationship in the studio, the communication, the timing, you know, just the body mechanics and movements of each member, you know.
Oh, yeah. We just, We just recorded a live DVD in Los Angeles, and it was so great to do. I mean, the guys in my band have been with me so long, and you know, we just have such a rapport with each other, and there's a chemistry on stage that we all just work off each other, and it was fun to put it on tape. So, you know, that'll be coming out soon, and I always like people to get a taste of that. If they don't make it to a concert, at least they can see these guys in action. We all contribute to the whole of what happens.
Definitely. You know, I feel that every musician, you know, comes to a point where, you know, they really get centered and focused in the zone. I mean, where they're just on fire with the creative ideas. Do you find that being in a studio environment where it's more controlled, or you feel you get the inspiration being on stage with the audience and the band members?
I think especially with this new record, I got that inspiration from being on stage with my band. You know, I mean, I got into music because I just loved to play, and I loved to play for people. You know, I mean, I think there's such a conversation that happens when you're in front of an audience, you know, and I feed off your energy as an audience, and I think, you know, the audience feeds off my energy, and it becomes something different every night. And so that's what inspires me usually. You know, we actually, for this CD, I actually went in and jammed at this little place called The Alley and wrote a song. We named it The Alley, kind of fitting, that we came up with. But it was fun to get everyone in the room and just kind of, you know, say, hey, let's do what we do at Soundcheck every day. And
yeah.
And let's actually record it.
But, you know, that's where the best jams come in, at least for me. You know, I find myself a lot of times practicing because I'm constantly on my board, you know, 2-3 hours a day. But a lot of times I'll just start a basic groove and you maybe come back to it a couple of days later. But that ends up probably being one of my best songs, you know. So, yeah, I hear you.
Yeah.
Now, with your band, do you have consistent members you track with in a studio, or do you have separate studio musicians and your band members for touring?
For touring, I've been with the same guys, you know, for some of them 8 years, some of them 6 years, and we're out on the road so much, it's just crazy. I keep them tired. keep them tired and worn down.
Definitely.
For recording, I usually bring in kind of different people to paint the picture of whatever I'm feeling for that record. And this record was such a live feel and such an organic feel that I brought my band, my touring band, in for a few songs. But then I wanted to play with, you know, a few different people as well. And I really thought that the stuff I was writing was kind of old soul music. I really wanted to bring in some guys who lived and breathed that. So I chose a drummer, James Gadson, who's played on just about every Bill Withers hit in history. He's played with Smokey Robinson, Herbie Hancock, so many different people.
Wow.
And I just wanted the chance to play with him. So I brought him in along with Reggie McBride, who I've played with on and on for probably 15 years, and plays with Keb Mo now, but his first gig was with Aretha Franklin when he was 14 years old.
Wow.
I mean, crazy, you know, just a great history, a great feel. Rex Rideout, who produced the record, played keyboards, and I mean, he's unbelievable, just adds so much heart and soul to it. And Randy Jacobs I brought in, he's kind of our number one sub for my guitar player, Jay Gore. And so he's played with us on and off for many years, but you've heard him in Was Not Was, Bonnie Raitt's albums. He's just a great bluesy, you know, really, he's from Detroit. He's got that just, you know, bite to his playing, that love. And so it made for a really, really interesting combination of players. So between my live band and those guys that I brought in, it's a pretty amazing combination.
You know, what I think is cool about musicians, you know, I talk a lot about this a lot, it's where you're from, the state, the setting, the environments that you're in, really impacts the creativity of your deliverance and your compositions. you know, you have somebody that really has an East Coast feel, and you know, definitely somebody has a West Coast feel in their music, and I mean, that's just something that they bring to the table naturally. You know what I mean? So, and it's kind of hard for me to picture somebody from the East Coast, and you're going to have a really West Coast sound, unless that's what you listen to all day. But a lot of times for me, I think the music that's played in the area really molds the person into their environment as a musician, you know?
Yeah, you're probably right. You know, I definitely wanted musicians who had lived and breathed this kind of music, you know. I wanted to interact with them and just see what we couldn't make. And I love the fact of putting people in a room, you know, the probability of putting people in a room and just kind of, seeing what we're going to come up with.
Yeah.
So it was interesting to just kind of play off each other, and that became the record.
Definitely.
It wasn't a lot of production to it. It was just all about what each musician brought to it.
Right. So what is next on the table for Amyndia Bear? I mean, what's the musical agenda for 2010? Other than the Hi-Fi Stereo CD, which is phenomenal again.
Thanks. You know, I've been doing a few different things. I just recorded a PBS special for Diane Warren called Diane Warren's Love Songs. Diane Warren Love Songs. And it's basically a tribute to her and just her amazing catalog of songs. So many different artists came together to be there and sing and play for her. Toni Braxton is featured on it, as well as Gloria Estefan and Leanne Rimes. Just an amazing roster. Jane Fonda introduces Diane Warren. It was just so fun to meet Jane Fonda. I'm a super fan of Jane Fonda.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, as a sax player, I got to say, to play a medley of Diane Warren's songs, it was pretty spectacular. I mean, she just writes such soaring melodies, and it was pretty incredible to play them and to stand in front of an orchestra and soak that in and just be inspired by the whole night.
Wow,
so,
can't imagine.
That's coming out. I just played on Keb Moe's latest release, so that'll be out later this year, and it's always fun to get in and play a little blues and get inside someone else's music for a bit and contribute to that. He's played on some of my CDs in the past, as well as I played on one of his pieces back by popular demand a couple of years ago. So it's always fun to put myself in different situations. He's going to be a special guest with me in July for a show in Newport Beach. So yeah, there's a lot of things going on musically, and you know, we'll get out there on the road and hit it hard. We're going to be in a lot of different cities for the In Hi-Fi Stereo tour.
Oh, sounds like it. You know, again, congratulations to your Board of Governors position with NARIS. I mean, that's just phenomenal. I mean, that's you can't get any higher than that.
Well, thank you. I'm really looking forward to serving. I mean, I look at it as a chance to really, you know, get out there and push our agenda as musicians and writers and artists. You know, you can really have a say in what goes on, not only, you know, getting out there and lobbying for different laws to be passed for Congress, but, you know, also pushing for music education and helping, you know, make it more available to kids. And, you know, there's so many things that the Recording Academy does besides just the Grammys. So I'm really, really honored to have a chance to work closer and have more of a say.
I think the mission is excellent. You know, that's one of the reasons why I put the Producers Corner together. You know, I started music at a very young age. I started recording when I was 14. And at the time, you know, in the early 80s, internet was unheard of. I mean, let alone a mm-hmm. computer in every home. And, you know, the resources for finding out who was using what equipment, who was producing what albums other than CD covers, and just interviews was really limited to other than magazine articles that you can, you know, read here or there. You know, so I always wanted to put like a whole center of information of the hottest musicians, how they compose, how they write, what equipment they're using, and just put it all in one area. So what everybody can just gravitate to the Producer's Corner, and I can assist them with video tutorials for production, walkthroughs through Logic Pro, Pro Tools. So, you know, I just love being active and, you know, mentoring people. I do that locally also in my state, mentor young people into music, get them inspired to really learn their craft as a musician, you know. So that's my mission.
Your mission is a good one. Thanks for doing that, because, you know, musician coming up the ranks, I never had that to look up to, you know.
Yeah,
and so it's so cool that you're putting that out there for people. I'm really happy to be a part of it, and happy you asked me to be on your podcast, because that's cool.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, Mandy, I want to thank you again for coming by and taking your time and chopping it up with me. It's been a pleasure and a really honor for you to be on my show.
Thank you. I feel the same.
Hey, you definitely have a spot here at the Producer's Corner, but love to have you back and talk about your new endeavors anytime.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. Well, you take it easy and have a safe 2010.
You got it.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Bye. And a big thank you and a shout out goes to Mindy Abear for coming on the show and chopping it up with me. Man, it was really cool talking to her, man. And, you know, a plus side to it, she knows her equipment. And, you know, I just love it when musicians have a direction and particular equipment and mics and pre's they like to use on recordings and why they like to use it. I mean, she's really into the color and to the tonality of her sound. So hats off to Mindy for that, man. I love it. And for more information for Mindy Abear, hit her website up at www.mindyabear.com. And that's spelled M as in Mary, I, N as in Nancy, D as in David, I, A, B as in boy, A, I, R, mindyabear.com. And for my past and current interviews, you can hit my website up as well at www.spud2tightmusic.ning.com. And I'm also available on iTunes as a podcast. So if you have an iPhone or a computer nearby, pull up iTunes, go to the iTunes store, type in the Producer's Corner, and you can click on my image, and you'll have a list of all my past and current reviews as well. And for questions and suggestions, you can hit my email up at spud2tight@gmail.com. And for the remainder of the show, I'm going to let this track play out. It's by Mindy Abear, and the title of the track is called Down for the Count, man. It's just got a nice ride to it, so we're just going to let this play out. So until next time, you guys keep it tight. Peace.